We still have a teenager up here working with his guitar, so give him a few minutes to get orientated and we'll be ready to start. I want to thank the teens for a wonderful presentation of music. It's good to know we've got a lot of talent coming up in the church in the future, and beautifully done, so thank you. I can add on to Mr. Hoosier's sermon. After 40 years so far of successful marriage, two words you need to remember, guys. Yes, dear. And you'll be in pretty good shape most of the time. Goes for ladies, too, sometimes, you know, a different way. You know, as you grow up as young people, now at teen level, there's a lot of preteens in here, so this applies to you as well. And many of you seniors who have been around for a long period of time can look back in your backgrounds, your lives, your environment, which came up, and you made choices. I happened to grow up in a very poor environment. We didn't have much as a kid. We lived in a blue-collar community, which was a very rough community. And going to school every day was a real chore because you knew you were going to be in a fight every single day without occasion to miss one. That wasn't a very pleasant situation to look forward to in your young years when you're trying to get yourself together. And I'm still talking about grade school. I hadn't got to high school yet. Fortunately, my parents had the wisdom to know that if I continued in that environment, that even though socially we didn't have much, we could certainly change our environment and pull me out of a situation that could have been very detrimental to my future as a young boy growing up. And we did. We moved, and it helped. And one thing I did at a very young age, which kind of helped shape the beginning, I realized that I had a choice to make. I could stay in the environment I grew up in and relegate myself to being relatively poor and uneducated or blue-collar, whatever, and nothing wrong with that, mind you. I'm not saying there is. Just that I had greater expectations. And I devoted my time to studying and reading on some of our founding fathers. Now, some of you our people are finding it difficult to know who the founding fathers are. Is that a band or new group, singing group? No, it's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Quincy Adams, Andrew, Alexander Hamilton, and people like that. I wanted to see what these men did in their younger life and in their older life to be successes and lead our nation and found our nation as it is today to give us the freedoms that we have today. Well, being poor, we had to start young. I had my first real job when I was 11 years old, working at a 7-Eleven store. And a 7-Eleven store, a lot different than it is today. There weren't that many of them to start with. It was open air. And in those days, a lot of people still had ice boxes, believe it or not, not refrigerators like we do today. And so ice was a big factor. So 11 years old, I'm carrying 50 pounds and 75 blocks of ice and getting my hands down in drink deals with freezing cold, and I can remember that cold to this day. And that was the start of my work life. And I don't recommend everybody has to go to work at 11 years old, but I tell you, you learn a lot of lessons when you do. And fortunately, I had some breaks. How many of you ever have been in a JCPenney store? Can I see a show of hands? Most of you had. Well, I was in JCPenney when JCPenney was a relatively successful department store, founded by JCPenney, and he ran his company by the Book of Proverbs. Now, I don't know what his overall religious affiliations were. He just knew that if he followed the principles that God gave through the Book of Proverbs, he was going to be successful, and he was. And he didn't mind how old you were if you could do the job. So at 16, I was given an opportunity to run the boys department at a JCPenney store. He taught merchandising. Everything he did, he had the Book of Proverbs sitting on his desk, and every day he referred to a principle in there of how to direct his activities, run his business, motivate his employees, and give them opportunities to grow. If I could recommend one book out of the Bible for you to study, We heard what Mr. Hoosier said about the first part, about morality. But when you read that entire book from top to bottom, male or female, it doesn't matter. In that book is a book and a guideline for life itself. So I recommend, obviously, read the whole Bible. But if you can read the Proverbs and make it part of your everyday life, it has a lot of wisdom and material in there that can make you grow and achieve very success. So I had that opportunity to see how it worked at the time. I wasn't being called. I wasn't in the church. I never even saw a Bible until much later in life. We didn't have one in our home. So I was a biblical illiterate when God started working with me, to be honest with you. I didn't have the privilege of knowing what you all are blessed to know today. As Mr. Hoosier said, you are called to be part of the family of God. What a tremendous opportunity that is. I didn't know about that opportunity when I was a young man, but it was something that I found out much later in life. Now, I went on, and I got my education. I ended up with Texas Instruments in Dallas, and by the age 30, I was running a major operation for them in England. When my wife and I heard the World Tomorrow broadcast for the very first time. Now, up until that time, the only goals and objectives I had in my life, the choices I had, was I wanted to be successful. I wanted to make money. Now, I was physical in nature. But I had goals and objectives I set for myself, and I had timelines. I even had dates and places. I wanted to be at a certain level in life at a certain age. I wanted to have a certain salary by that period of time. My whole goals and objectives evolved around the physical. There's nothing wrong with that. You should have those goals and objectives in your life. But that's not the whole answer, is it? That's not everything. And it wasn't until I heard the Word of God for the first time, the real, true Word of God, when Mr. Armstrong and I heard his broadcast for the first time, and I realized God has a different plan and set of goals and objectives for us. And it's not physical, it's spiritual. What a change in life it makes. So if you go with me to Genesis 1, verse 26, you see here that God has a plan that is not physical in nature. It is spiritual in nature. And it was then I realized, when I read that for the first time and God opened my mind to see it, that He had a plan for you and me from the very beginning of His creation. Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image," the God image, different image, altogether, spiritually driven, an opportunity to be like God Himself, to have God's Holy Spirit, to live forever. Well, I never heard anything like that before in my life. Now, many of you have heard that many times. I was 30 years old. I had never heard that before. It was brand new to me. What's He talking about here? In our likeness, I'm going to be like God? It's mind-blowing. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. For a purpose. He had a purpose for each and every one of us. God was beginning a family. And it started out in the physical, but it would gradually transition into the spiritual. And He gave us a roadmap of how to have and achieve true success in life. One, a combination of physical living as a physical human being, rolled into completeness that when you're old enough and make a choice, which is you're taking ownership. All those in here that are baptized today had to take ownership of their relationship with God. And they had to make a decision. Am I going the way of Satan and his world? Or am I going the way that God has directed me to and lead me in his paths and his ways? And if you take that choice, you need to take ownership of it. Because you're the only one that can make that decision. Your parents can't. I can't. Ministry can't. We can teach you. We can lead you. We can set examples for you, hopefully the right ones. But when it boils down to it, you will have to make those decisions yourself. Those are decisions I had to make, your parents had to make, and that was to honor God and to follow the calling He had. Now, God is involved in our lives, and sometimes you might feel like, wow, is God really hearing my prayers? Let's go to Psalm 139, because God is very, very much involved in our lives. Psalm 139 in verse 13. Listen to the description of how involved God is. Now, we got some young ladies in here that are expecting for the first time, and that's pretty exciting, and they can relate to this in this message. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you. Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion in your mother's womb. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day of your life is being recorded in God's book of life. It's pretty exciting, is it? If you ever think God's not involved, think again. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. We have to realize, no matter how old we are, and believe me, it doesn't matter how old you are, as Mr. Welsh said, you know, the seasoned, respect, thank you about that. And instead of the old geezer coming up here anyway. But anyway, the seasoned veterans that have been around for a long time, both physically and spiritually, we have our battles. Just because we've been baptized for 40 years or whatever, we've been in the church, we might be ordained, we might be in the ministry or not, we still struggle with the same problems that you do. We remember when we went through the same problems you experienced as a teenager. Now, it may seem like a long time for me, but some of them I still remember, believe me. God has a complete plan with a very specific set of goals and objectives for us to accomplish. And if we follow those plans and those objectives, we'll be successfully, physically, and spiritually. And spiritually is where we want it to really excel, because we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to be in His family. That is His desire. That's why He created you. That's your purpose in life. That is the keynote of your life. And I didn't understand that when I was 30 years old. I didn't know it when I was 15 years old. I certainly didn't know it when I was 12, 13. That was, anything related to God was very remote to me, because I didn't understand any of it. Didn't have that exposure. Didn't have that relationship. Wish I did. But it saved me a lot of heartaches along the way. Been a lot easier in my life. Thought I had God involved with me from the very beginning, but He wasn't. In spite of that, He must have been watching out for me, because I came out relatively unscathed in terms of any major long-term damage. A little brain dead sometimes, but other than that. So God began His family. It was His purpose for all mankind from the very beginning to be a member of His family, and that includes each and every one of us in here today. I don't care how old you are, that's His plan. We were born of the dust of the ground, but to qualify to become a spirit being like our Heavenly Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ, who was the firstborn of many. He set the example. We're to walk in His footsteps. We're to have the mind of Christ growing in us, developing in us. When you read Psalm 139, you can see how God is so much involved with each and every one of His children and how much He loves each and every one of us. You are God's children. You are God's children. It's a pretty high honor. You know, you're your parents' children, which is great, wonderful. But you are God's children just like your parents are God's children, with the responsibility and ability to learn and live by our Father's laws, commandments, and statutes. And believe me, if you learn that at an early age, It'll make your life a lot easier in the long run. You don't have to go through the bumpy road that many do in this world. So many examples that you know you can watch on the news, various things that happen to individuals. But you don't have to experience those things because God is building a family and we are part of the process. You need to know that God is your God and God the Father is your spiritual father. Never forget that. No matter how hard it gets sometimes, or sometimes you'll hit a bumpy road, remember that's the key that you need to keep in mind. God is there for you all time. Let's go to 2 Timothy, because Paul here is addressing another young person in the church. Grew up in the church just like you did. He was taught by his grandmother, and then his mother, and then himself was called into the church itself, into God's church. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Here Paul's addressing young Timothy and he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of by the teachings you have been given, knowing from whom you have learned them, from your parents in this case or your grandparents, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." Wow, what a blessing. Every one of you, I've seen you in action already in some of these teen affairs already and Bible bowls and Bible various things that go on, and your knowledge of the Scriptures are really quite amazing. And I respect that very much of you because, you know, you could do something else. But learning God's way of life now is extremely important. "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And that's our goal. We want salvation. We want to be a spirit being. We want to live forever. We want to be in the family of God. And the opportunity for you and I now is to be in the ruling family of God. Every one of us sitting in here today have been called to be in the ruling family of God, a unique calling at a unique time in history, like none other. This is our time. This is our time for salvation. Judgment is on the house of God now. Let's go over a chapter to 1 Timothy, or back to chapter 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And here Paul is giving encouragement to this young Timothy. "Let no one despise you or disrespect you for your youth." Four-year youth. And that can happen. Well, they're a teenager. You know what teenagers are like. Well, I know what some teenagers are like. I was probably one of them. But I know that this group in here is different. And this is what God's talking about here. "Let no one despise or disrespect your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and what Mr. Hoosier talked about, in purity." It's a tall order for young people to grasp. You mean I have to do all that? Well, with God's help, you can achieve it. You certainly can. It's what each and every one of us in here, adults, doesn't matter how old we are, whether we're seasoned veterans or new baptized members, we still have to deal with the same issues. We are able to make you wise for salvation. You need to be wise in believers and set the example in conversation, how you conduct your life in preparing for real true love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Paul here is giving young Timothy some sound advice. And Paul is saying just because you're young does not mean that God does not have a purpose for you, because he does. Character building is not just for the adults. It applies to all of us. Preteens, all you preteens in here, believe me, you have a responsibility as well. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can start building character right now. It applies to all of us. God has expectations of all of us. It's part part of the calling. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Like I said, you can go to Proverbs and you can get a wealth of information out of here, and I'm just going to pick a couple here. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. You know, God says, I'll be here for you. You trust me. I'll help you through the difficult times, and they will come. And lean not on your own understanding, because you can't do it on yourself, and I found that out so many times. In running a business, whenever I took the reins and started to do it myself without God involved, believe me, I crashed and burned more times. I used to just set myself on fire and get it over with. But the difference is that if you bring God along with you, you can minimize some of the damage by having God involved in your ways. He goes on in verse 6 and says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will help you through life. He will direct your paths. God will help you achieve your plan. He will be your personal mentor in life. I've had the privilege of having some very well-known physical mentors in my career. And I really respect and appreciate the advice they gave me. But the greatest mentor you will have is God and God's Word to direct your paths and your way. And He promises to be with you every step of the way. And He says, I will never leave or forsake you. Believe that. This is a promise from God. This is not just an off-handed saying. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and you can count on that. Each and every one of us, there's many adults in here who could vouch for that. They've been there before. They've been through the hard times. And you can learn from your peers here, your adult family as well, because we're all family. We're all part of God's family. Let's go to chapter 7, Proverbs 7, and verse 1. He said, my son and daughter. What is he talking to? He's talking to young people here. The whole book of Proverbs basically is geared towards young people, teenagers, giving them advice, how to start their lives off, how to really form ideas and impressions that are based on God's word and God's way of life. He said, my son and daughter, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. What's God looking for? Conversion is of the heart, and that's the area that we need to be concerned about. And over again, he stresses to bind them on your heart. Keep that in mind. Matthew 22 and verse 35. This is an example where Jesus Christ himself was being challenged, and he was asked, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he summed it up in two very quick summaries. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. If you keep that in mind, God will never leave you or forsake you. It's the first and great commandment. Sums up the first group of commandments that we have. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes that's very difficult to do, because people will disappoint you. Some of your peers will disappoint you. Some of your friends will disappoint you. God said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's a hard one to follow sometimes. It goes on and says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Now going back in the Old Testament, what he told Israel, the nation of Israel, which he selected out as his holy people, applies to us today. In Deuteronomy 28, and verse 1, this is a blessing he was, the blessing and cursings chapter. But I'm just going to read some of the blessings. Because if you follow God, these blessings will apply to you just like they did to the nation of Israel. They kept that way. In verse 1, he says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It's a beautiful promise that God gives us, you know. So these are the benefits by God, given by God, if you obey his commandments. And are there gifts of these promises? Absolutely. And these are promises that God gives each and every one of us. In Deuteronomy, dropping down to verse 9, he goes on and continues in this blessing chapter. And he says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. So if we keep his laws and his commandments and his word and his way of life, God says, I will make you a holy people to himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Let's back that up by going to the New Testament, and let's go over to 1 Peter and follow up on that. Thank you, my friend. I thought, oh, this water's not scotch. What's wrong with this boy? 1 Peter 2:1, talking about learning God's word, he goes on and says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceits, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, which is the way a lot of this world is, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. So many blessings that come from learning and drinking in God's word. And it can be very simple sometimes. Learn little bit by little bit. Build a brick upon brick and build a solid foundation. So many scriptures point to building a solid foundation for your life. Coming to him, God says in verse 4, God the Father as to a living stone, Jesus Christ, rejected indeed by men, which Jesus Christ was, but chosen by God and precious. You also, okay, switching gears, you so also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. What's God building here? He's building a family. You're the foundation of that family, just like your parents are out here and the other adults in this congregation. You're building up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is your calling. This is your responsibility. He goes on in verse 5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Drop down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, unique, timely, part of the firstborn of God. If you make the right choices in life, God is offering that to you. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Think about that. You're God's own special people. We have this wonderful opportunity to be in his family. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Because at one point in time, we were totally ignorant of God's word and his way of life into his marvelous light. The revelation of God's word, the understanding of God's word that comes through his Holy Spirit. As Mr. Hoosier said, you have God's Holy Spirit around you, with you, guiding you, directing you, helping you. And one day you will have it dwelling in you, and you need to prepare for that temple that God's going to have his Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And once we're not a people, but are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6:1. All these are principles that are godly words that you need to keep in mind as you go through your life. And this is a great time for you. Teenager life, you'll never experience again. It's here and it's gone. And it can be great, it can be wonderful, a tremendous opportunity experience for you. Deuteronomy 6:1, this includes the parents as well. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that you have crossed over to possess, and that applies to us today, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command you you and your son and your grandson and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So there's advantage to keeping God's way of life. He says here that your days may be prolonged. Let's drop down to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, or hear, you people of God, you teenagers in here today. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees who were giving him a bad time? He goes on in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. See, conversion is of the heart. It's right here. It's what in you makes you what you are. Your heart commands a lot of things. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. This is to the parents' responsibility. And someday you're preparing to be parents. Will you be able to teach your children God's way? Listen to this then, because this applies to you in the future. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It is a way of life. It's a way of life. And oh, I wish I'd have had that early on in my life. And I've had it ever since. And we've had our rough times. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean you might not have a rough time occasionally. You will. Doesn't matter whether you're just a member in God's church, or we're all members of God's church. We're all part of the body of Christ. You are as well. This is how you overcome the temptations that God, that the Satan of this world has laid out for you and us as adults. There's traps he lays along the way and temptations that'll be out there, and there'll be many of them, believe me. As you move along to life, it doesn't mean they end when you're a teenager. When you're an adult and even in business, there's temptations that'll address your issues all the time, whether it's how you conduct your business, how you conduct your life, how you stay faithful to your wife or your husband. All temptations out there. Satan's out there moving around like a roaring lion, as he said. He's going to trip you up if he can. That's his desire. He doesn't want you to be in the family of God. Because, see, he lost out. He is an adversary. He's not on your side. He's not part of your team. I can guarantee you that. He's just the opposite. The fear of God is a conscious presence of God. And I found that I have to invite God in my life as a partner in my life 24/7. I need Him to direct my activities, my thoughts, my actions, my decisions. And when I don't do that, I usually make the wrong decision. So always have the conscious presence of God there and realize He'll be there for you 24/7. You can call upon Him anytime you want to. You know, many people in this world live a daily life as if God had nothing to say about how they should live. And that's really sad. And they go down the path that's led them to a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulties. But that's not so for you and I. See, God's taught us differently. God has a plan and purpose for each of us and has given us a complete instruction book to follow. If you didn't have any other book, God's Word, it's all you need. And that's been proven in business. You want to be a better speaker? You want to be a better wife? You want to be a better husband? You want to run your business better? Pick up the Bible. It's all in there. Everything else that man has learned is just an extrapolation of what God's already given us in this Bible. Think about that. Very interesting. You can listen to anybody you want to, and they might be a very profound speaker. But when you look at the principles in God's Word, you've got everything you need right there to be successful in life, both spiritually and physically. The knowledge of His commandments is insufficient by itself, though. It takes character building is applying those instructions and translating them into character building action. You have to act upon them. You have to live them. And that goes for every one of us in here, does it not? I could take a poll in here of every adult in here, and every one of them knows what I'm speaking of because they've had to do the same thing. Throughout the Bible, God has called and chosen young people, and there are several examples. We know that Samuel was sent when Saul, who was king at the time, disqualified himself, and God told Samuel, I want you to go find, and I'm going to anoint me, myself, this is God talking, a king. And what did he do? He went to Jesse, 7 tall, stalwart sons, and neither one of the sons qualified, none of them. He said, Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he said, yeah, I have one more, but he's out there tending the sheep. He's a young guy. You know, you're probably not interested in him. And God says, call him in. Samuel, you're not going to sit down until that boy comes in. And sure enough, God selected a ruddy-faced young man who was tending sheep and had Samuel anoint him as king over all of Israel. And that was David, who had that opportunity as a young boy. Now, what did God see in that young man? Faith? Commandment keeper? Absolutely. Dedication? Yes. He was already living God's way of life, or else God would not have anointed him king over Israel. Now, did David make mistakes? Oh, yeah, we know that. As an adult, very much so. Key, repentance, and back to God. Always keep that in mind. Mr. Hoosier talked about that as well. But that's an example. But that's a young man. I mentioned this last year, but I want to emphasize it again, because it's very important to remember that God is calling both men and women, so you girls are not left out, believe me. Let's go to Luke 1 and verse 26. Very seldom do we talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, it's a great example. There's many examples of women in the Bible who did great things. Esther, you name them, Ruth. But here we have a young woman. And in Luke 1, verse 26, now in the 6th month, an angel, Gabriel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. I heard about that. Betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Here was a young woman of pure purity. She had kept God's laws, and he looked down and found a virtuous woman who had prepared herself for the greatest opportunity of all time to actually be the mother, birth mother of Jesus Christ. Verse 29, but when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what matter of the greeting was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. What a tremendous thing. I don't care what your destiny is. Wouldn't it be great if God was to look upon each and every one of us and say, whether you're a young woman in the church now or any of the women in here or any of the men in here, doesn't matter. And God says, God has found favor with you. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Little did this woman, this young woman, know what her destiny would be. Not in her wildest dreams would she have ever thought that God would select her to be the birth mother of Jesus Christ. But you know, she was ready. She was prepared. And that's the preparation that all of us, male or female, doesn't matter, need to be in the calling that God's given us. And that's the same calling that each and every one of us in this auditorium have today, to be part of God's family. God must take priority in our lives, and God is asking, even demanding, that we take all of our work, our family, our personal plans, and rework them so that they become the center of our lives. Everything should evolve around your relationship with God, and that should be the number one objective in your life, is to have that solid, rooted foundation with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We mentioned earlier a godly grandmother and mother raised Timothy and became a great pastor in God's church at one time in the early church. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. And here Paul's talking to Timothy once again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded as also in you. You know, our parents are important in terms of examples to us. So parents, we have teens in here, we have preteens. And each and every one of us in here have a responsibility by God to do what the grandmother and the mother of Timothy did, set the right example, teach them the Holy Scriptures so that they may grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You know, Solomon was king over Israel, strayed from God, but he did a lot of things over a long period of time. And at the conclusion of all the things he did, which he accomplished much, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of life itself. And he says, the answer is, no matter what I've done, the bottom line, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the all. This is what God has called man to do, is to qualify to be in the family of God. That was the conclusion of one of the greatest kings and the wisest men who has ever lived. Now, Paul, in conclusion here, I'm going to run it down pretty quick here in Philippians 2. Stay in it for a little bit because it's very important here. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement, which there is a lot, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded by Jesus Christ, having the same love that he has for us, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It's hard to do when you're a teenager. It's hard to do when you're an adult, believe me. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. He's going to give an example here, the kind of mind that Christ had, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He lived a human life. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. In his prayer in the garden before they took him out and crucified him, he said, God, restore me to my former glory. Jesus Christ had a full memory of what it was like living with God the Father before he became a human being to experience what each and every one of us in here have done over a long period of time. And you are now entering that period of time. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's the attitude that we need to have ourselves. Jesus Christ set as an example for it. He goes on in verse 12 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as just in my presence only, not when you're around your parents or with your ministry or whatever it is in your congregation. He's saying here, not only when I'm available and I'm around you, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's directing your activities. He wants you to be successful. He goes on in verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. All of us here today, young and old, in need to take ownership in this calling. whether you're 95 or whether you're 2 years old and barely able to think through it, but you should be taught from birth God's way of life. We need to take ownership in His calling. God has given us a purpose in life and a perfect roadmap to follow. That road leads directly to the kingdom of God, and that is the plan of God for each and every one of us to be sons and daughters in His family. Final scripture. Mr. Hoosier went over this personally just a little while ago. I'm going to continue with the last scripture on that. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16 through 18. I'm going to kind of scramble it together, get the essence. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16 through 18. For you are a temple of the living God. Think on that. You are being prepared to be the temple of the living God, where His Holy Spirit will dwell in you and give you knowledge and understanding of God's word and way of life. Exactly as God said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty God. Well, teenagers, you've got a wonderful opportunity ahead of you. And I wish you success, not only physically, but spiritually, and to realize that God will be with you all the time in that journey.